due diligence, very, very important. Now, we've already touched on it because we went through the preliminary due diligence you do on a deal, and there may be some redundancy here. And again, that's by design. I don't want you to miss anything. And remember, there is a due diligence checklist in your materials, and you definitely want to use it. Any business is nothing but people and systems. And you want to use those systems, and the checklist is an example of that system, okay? Remember, don't work from a broker's pro forma. Said it before, I'm going to say it again. You can use it to entice the bank and whatnot, but you do not want to use it when you're doing your financial calculations. You are interested only in what that property has done. Now, you're going to plug in what you think it can do, but that's not what you base your buying decision on. You base it on what it's been doing historically, okay? Now, you should have already received and studied the last 2 years' income and expense statements from the property and a rent roll from the property. And then remember, with the rent roll, you should have looked at the income and expenses to really determine the economic vacancy. Remember, we talked about economic vacancy. The rent roll could show you're making $100,000 a year in gross income, but the actual collected income is only $80,000, so that, you know, the economic income is only $80,000. So you want to look at what it's economically pulling, not what it's stated on the rent roll. Remember that conversation? Okay. So you should have asked and answered all these questions. I'm going to go through them again. What's the property's age? Okay, how old is it? What's the occupancy level of the property? Is it stabilized? Is it at least 80 to 85% occupied? Is it a value add or reposition opportunity? What's the overall condition? You know, not just outside, but in the units. You're going to walk through all the units, by the way. We're going to talk about that. It's a lot of work, but you have to do it. Is there any deferred maintenance? Do the current rents align with market rents, or is there an opportunity to raise them? And then you go somewhere like Rent-A-Meter or Apartments.com, and you plug it in and you see what the market rent is. Remember, making sure that you use apples to apples. If you have two-bedroom 800 square foot units, do not use two-bedroom 1200 square foot units as a comparable. So it's important that it's apples to apples. There's so many websites that have this information that you can utilize. Rent-A-Meter is one, Apartments.com is another. Again, we use Craigslist, huge free resource to test market demand. And I think I talk about that again in one of the slides. But okay, so what's the expense ratio? Remember the expense ratio? Income, less expenses, divide the expenses in the income and you get the expense ratio. $100,000 in income, $50,000 in expenses is a 50% expense ratio, which is average. Is it more than that? Is there an opportunity to improve it? Or is it artificially low too, okay? In this due diligence, if you see a 30% expense ratio, red flags should be going off. It's very possible that the seller has not included all the expenses on the income and expense ratio, and it's not uncommon. I will tell you, I hate to say it, most people have integrity, but even the ones with integrity, when they see the impact that the net operating income can have on value, sellers may leave things off the income and expense ratio because it makes the property look better and worth more money. So very, very important that if it's not around 45 to 55% expense ratio, if it's quite a bit lower than that, things could be missing. It could be maintenance that didn't get put on there. There could be management that wasn't put on there. Maybe it's the owner's personal involvement in the property that's not being attributed. All these things you have to think about, okay? So if they're high, why are they high? If they're low, why are they low? Same thing. Are there any value add or reposition opportunities? I already asked that and say it again. You know, that's what we love. We love ways to that are in our control to improve the NOI and raise the value. Then, of course, will the NOI be sufficient to cover the debt service plus cash flow? What's the debt service coverage ratio, the DSCR? Is there a good unit mix, you know, for that property, for that area, for that sub-area? And you should have asked and answered these questions about the area. How is the location? What's the crime like there? What's the condition of your competition, nearby similar properties? What are they like? Are they better or are they worse? That's an important consideration. If they're better, you're going to be competing with them. If they're worse, maybe it's an opportunity. You know, there's all kinds of things you're thinking through as you're thinking through the property. you're asking yourself these questions. Is the property in an appealing market? Or is it like the one I was talking about where it's literally got industrial properties all around it, okay? Is it an emerging market? Is it a market where the population is growing, the income is growing, businesses are moving in? Is that an emerging market? Or is it a declining market? And if it's declining, how much is it declining? Is the population growing? Like I said, income growing, I already said that. Okay, what's the area's unemployment rate? What's the vacancy rate for the area? All important questions to ask. So you're going to measure demand for the property. And what's the vacancy of properties around you, your competition? What's the vacancies of the subject property? How do they correlate? And like I say, we love Craigslist. We run an ad to see what the number of calls we get if we run an ad on the specific type of units that we have. Or we'll look and see what other people are advertising them for. Great free resource. So again, if there's no response to our ad, that's a problem. That's a clue. That means that there may not be much demand for that property, and that can be a real problem for you. I always recommend trying to run an ad, a blind ad, just to see if the phone rings. Of course, if there's a high volume, it means there's demand, but it could also mean your rents are too low, and there's an opportunity there. That's why this is so powerful. Okay. Now, we've talked about analyzing the neighborhood, and now that you're under contract, you may have put this property under contract and not actually been by it yet. It's very common. If you're buying properties in another market and, one of the other four, one of the other three markets besides your backyard, maybe somewhere you grew up, somewhere you have boots on the ground, or somewhere you want to retire or enjoy going to, remember those other three areas? You may not have actually physically visited. Now it's time to go physically visit it. And you're going to get in the car and you're going to drive the neighborhood. You're going to get a feel for it. You're going to trust your intuition. How does it feel? Would you want to live there? Would you feel safe there? Are there jobs near there? Would you want to work in this area? If you ask yourself these questions, you're asking questions that tenants are going to ask. So these are important questions to ask. Is there public transportation? If you're in a C-class property or lower, even a B-minus, a lot of people use public transportation. Is it nearby? So these are important questions. What's the closest grocery store? How far is a grocery store? People want to know that. How long does it take to get groceries? Are there schools nearby? What are they like? How do they rate? You can go to best high schools and get rankings. Are there things to do? Remember, we talked about walk-o-meter. What's it like to walk around the property? Are there beaches, hiking, recreation? Is there shopping nearby? Or is it in a really tough part of town where everybody's headed out of Dodge? There's no good businesses left, These are important questions. You're going to drive around to get a feel for it. It's a very important part of the process. In fact, I don't discount it. You absolutely must do it. We talked about safety. Remember, how safe does it feel? Would you feel safe collecting the rents? How does it go by there different times of day and at night, even late at night, like 10 o'clock at night? How does it feel? How do you feel? Do you feel safe or is it threatening? Go on the weekend. Remember spotcrime.com? You'll have already looked at spotcrime. Very important. And if you're still on the fence, you're not sure about the property, call the police department's non-emergency number and ask them about the property. See if you can get somebody, you're considering buying this property, you just want to get a feel for what happens there. You had a lot of calls there. Is there a drug problem there? And they may tell you, maybe there's an officer or detective that handles that property that can call you back. But that's great information to have, right? To get a history on the property, to find out what happens there. Now, when you're looking at the property, you want to think security, okay? You want to think, will your female residents, for example, feel safe walking to their units? Are there clear lines of sight from the street, or are there lots of places where nefarious people could hide and, danger spots? Or how's the lighting at night? These are things you want to think about because tenants are going to think about that. So, how safe does it feel? How does it look? Can you see through it? Important questions. And you're going to also think about who's your target renter, okay? Are you near a university? Are you near a big medical center? What's nearby? What type of demographic is going to feed your property? What's the tenant mix like? Is it families or is it single people? Is it students? Is it retired people? What is it? And does the unit mix in the property lend itself to that demographic? How many are married? What's the ethnic makeup? These are important questions. What's the median age? And you can get a real good idea by just looking at the mix of people that are living there now. Is it mostly elderly? You know, we're buying a 24 unit near us here in Inglewood, Florida, and it was all elderly people. Fantastic. Are they all students? Are they all families? Now, you want to make sure, like I said, and I'm being a little redundant, but to repeat myself, you want to make sure those unit sizes cater to your demographic. Because if the property is 30, 40% empty, that could be the reason. And that's not something you can fix sometimes. So these are important questions to go through in your head when you're doing your due diligence. And again, we've talked about this, and I'm hammering it home. What are the basic demographics? What's the population going up or down? How many households near you? Are the households going up or down in income and in people moving in or out? How's the area doing financially? Income, we just talked about. How many people are below the poverty line? And there's a great website for this called Indeed.com to get information like this, where you can see how many jobs are there. I'm sorry, Indeed's for jobs. And find out who the major employers are. Is there diversity? Remember, I talked about no one-horse towns. Don't go into a one-horse town. It's too risky. So here's an example of Indeed.com. And I know I've used it, Eden, North Carolina, in my example. In Eden, North Carolina, there's 154 jobs on Indeed.com versus in Raleigh, North Carolina, there's 10,000 jobs. So that's important information to have, and it's just a finger, it's just a click away. So check it out. What does the job market look like in whatever submarket you're interested in? Very important question. Indeed.com. So what's the percentage of vacant housing? You know, remember we talked about that. If it's over 8%, that can be an issue. So you want to be careful with that. And is it trending up or down? What's the average home price? Remember, we like 80,000 plus. I'm not saying you can't buy in an area that's less than that, but that's a red flag. So, you know, it's just something to think about. How many homes versus apartments? Is it primarily apartments where you're just competing with apartments, or are there homes there? When we, you know, in Eden, North Carolina example, the guy was renting two bedrooms for $650, and there were three-bedroom houses for rent for $395. You can't compete with that, with a two-bedroom apartment versus a three-bedroom house. So that's an important factor. Yeah, what percentage of them are rentals versus home ownership? And a great place for information is bestplaces.com. In fact, flag that one, guys. There's so much information on that that'll help you. And there's the homepage. You just put in the town you're interested in, and it's going to give you population, median age, household size. You know, are they married? Are they single? Median home price. Commute times, things of that nature. So there's a lot of information on Best Places that'll really help you. And in under housing, you know, you can see what the home appreciation is in a market. You can see if it's appreciated or depreciated. So very, very good website to very quickly get information about an area. Okay, call the Economic Development Office. Remember I talked about that before, the Chamber of Commerce. What's going on in the area? Are there businesses going in? Are there financial incentives? How are businesses doing? Now, of course, the chamber is going to say everything's great, but you can still get good information. I recommend you call them. I actually recommend you go there, and when you're visiting your site visit and you stop there and you also stop in the other places I'm going to tell you in just a second here. Do they have any incentives to invest there? Are businesses coming or leaving? Any new employers that have just come in? You know, let them sell you on the area. And then I recommend you go to city planning and zoning and literally go talk to them. What's going on here? We've even gone to the mayor's office. What's happening in the area? They'll give you great information, okay? And then when you go to city planning and zoning, have there been violations at the property recently in the last 5 years? What's happened there? They can give you, kind of a history of problems there. And if there's been any recurring violations of problems there with the property, problems that you may have to deal with. Maybe they're infrastructure related, like plumbing problems, insect infestation problems, things that tenants have complained about, and planning or zoning or codes has gotten involved. That's good information to know if there's been a recurring problem. Have any permits been pulled on the property to do work that wasn't done or work that was completed that you weren't aware of? And is the property American for Disabilities Act, ADA compliant? That's important to know as well. You go to the assessor's office, you know, what's their opinion of the property? What's their opinion of the neighborhood? Are the assessed values increasing there? You know, what's going to happen with the taxes when you buy? Remember, important question, when you're doing your financial analysis, you're not going to use the seller's tax number, because what's it going to do after you buy? It's going to go up. It's important for you to know how much it's going to go up. This is where you find out. Have the owners contested the taxes in the past? Maybe they haven't, and that can be an opportunity sometimes. You ask them what the outcome was. Did they get a reduction, or was it defeated? And then, like I said, what will the taxes increase to based on the new purchase price? Very important information for you to have. Then I recommend you talk to the contractors that have worked on the property, the vendors that have worked on the property, plumbers, electricians, HVAC people, people that worked on the heating and air conditioning, the maintenance men. You know, what are typical problems? What are recurring problems? What do they think about the property? What would they do to prevent future problems? These are all really important questions to ask them. Do they think anything needs to be repaired or replaced right now? Is there any things that have been left in bad condition, any deferred maintenance? I talk to the existing vendors, but then I'm going to tell you to contractors, and I'm going to tell you to take it one step further. Also getting new contractors out there to look at the property. They'll give you a different perspective, because sometimes the existing contractors will hide their deficiencies or their incompetence. So I recommend getting new plumbers, electricians, HVAC people to go through and tell you what they think's wrong with it. You get both perspectives. It can be very illuminating. I highly recommend you do that as well. Take the time to do that. So when you're at your site visit, have all this lined up so you can meet them hour on the hour and go through the property and go through these things. Very important. Then I recommend, if you can, talk to tenants. While you're walking around doing your inspections, ask them some questions. How do they like living there? You know, do they plan to stay? Do they think it's safe? Is it quiet or loud? You know, how do they feel things have been taken care of? Do they feel taken care of? Are there any changes they'd like to see? Who knows better than them? You know, what makes them comfortable, uncomfortable? Very important source of information. And of course, will they stay or they move when their lease expires? Huge question. So that's the due diligence process framework, okay? Then you're gonna get third-party reports. And these are gonna be required when you're under contract and getting conventional financing or lender, you know, any institutional type financing. They're gonna want a phase one environmental. They wanna make sure there's no toxic dump site there that there's no problems with the ground because of the huge liabilities associated with that. And so, you know, that's a common report that you're going to need. No underground oil tanks, no toxic chemicals. Almost 201, you're going to end up getting one of those. And it's smart because it protects you. Then, if you feel it's warranted, get an engineer's report on the property. Make sure that the property, the construction, there's no cracking, there's no issues with the walls, the foundation, maybe the stairs are concrete, maybe there's balconies. You know, make sure it's up to snuff to protect yourself. The structure, very important, and that's what they do in engineer's report. And here's a bunch of other ones, okay? So you're going to want a survey. The bank's going to want a survey. Very important. It's ideally, if you can get a copy of the seller's old survey, that helps a lot with that. But it's going to show how the buildings sit on the property, and there's no encroachments, that the neighbor hasn't built a wall on your side, or sometimes, God forbid, another building on your side of the property line, or vice versa, that this property's not encroaching. And all banks are going to require this, but I recommend you get it even if you do seller financing, okay? Very important. Appraisal. You're going to have it appraised. The bank's going to want it appraised. They will order the appraisal. And then these other things really are based on what you see when you're out there. Do you want to get a termite inspection? I recommend you do that anyway, because they're not very expensive. Have the on-site sewer disposal system inspected. Make sure all the lines are in good shape. And, you know, contractors will do that. if it was built prior to 78, you need to make sure that there's no lead-based paint. So you get a lead-based paint inspection. And then these other ones, again, they're based on your comfort level and maybe the bank will require them, maybe they won't, a radon inspection, an asbestos inspection, a formaldehyde inspection, or a mold inspection. If you see any evidence of mold, get it inspected. That can be a real pain and it can be very, very expensive. Believe it or not, it's not that hard to remediate, but if you do it legally, it's very expensive, okay? I mean, sometimes it's just a spray bottle with some bleach and it's remediated, but it can be a nightmare. I've encountered it when it's been really bad, and so if you have any indication there could be some mold, get it inspected before you buy, before you're locked up.